I'm going to teach today on something that I said, Lord, of all days, of all seasons, we're entering into Thanksgiving. It's only just a little bit of ways, probably about a month away, right? Something like that. And then Christmas season, all that we're doing. And the Lord spoke to me to teach on fasting and prayer today. Come on, somebody. I said, Lord, the last thing anyone's thinking about is that all they're thinking about is dreaming of, you know, of turkey and all the rest of stuff. But I want to talk to you about that. And I think it'll help you because how many know we have a presidential election in a few days? It's a big decision to make. And I'll tell you about all that as we go along today. But there is a season when prayer and fasting is needed, when major decisions are being made. And the scripture that came to me that grabbed me the last almost a month, and I've been reading it over and over again at night and just meditating upon it, was this scripture that just really challenges me. It says, in these days, or in those days, he went out into the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Read that again. In these days, he went out to a mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. And we read that, and it's one of those little bumps, you know, you read the scripture, it doesn't grab you a lot. But in those days, there's a context to it, and so it's saying, in fact, if you were to read what the context is, the scripture before that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those groups of religious people had become enraged at him. And the Bible says when all that was taking place, in those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. And the next verse following it says, he then went out and chose his 12 disciples. So it was in the midst of troubles and in the midst of great decision making that he continued all night in prayer, which would also have the connotation to it of no eating or drinking and not at a restaurant or an all night buffet. He is literally fasting that entire night from sleep, fasting from food, and he continues all night in prayer. You can imagine what he felt like in the morning. You can imagine when he began to choose his 12 disciples. He wasn't one of those with a big spring in his step. He may or may not have, but he had spent the entire night when everyone else was sleeping in prayer. And I want to talk to you about that, the thought, and I've termed it, he prayed all night. Everybody say he prayed all night. He prayed all night. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to open up your word and feed us. Father, we need more than mental food. We need a heart food. We need spiritual food. We need to touch us deep within us to change us. So, Lord, we want to be like you, changed into your image. Holy Spirit, this morning we pray, change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've left us an example that we would follow in your steps. We love you with all our hearts. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody say, all night. Would you say it? Somebody say, all night. You can be seated. You know, if ever there was a person born of woman that we might have thought did not need to pray, it would have been Jesus. And yet it was Jesus that gave himself to it more than any other person we've ever seen. If ever I thought there was somebody that would say, well, he really doesn't need to pray because, you know, he's God, really. And yet the Bible shows us that he exampled prayer more than anything else or anyone else in the scripture. Such was his love for his Father because he communed with him. And such was his love for us because he interceded for us. And it's an example. He left us an example that we'd follow in his footsteps. And I want to look at a few things I meditated on when I was thinking about it. Number one was the time that he chose was at night. Everybody say at night. The time he chose. At night, the hills, the hour of silence, when the crowds got less and no one was pressing against him. He chose a time when he could really give himself totally to prayer. And the Bible says he did it. Everyone else had ceased their labors, but he labored in prayer the entire night. Also, the place, not only the time, but the place he chose. He chose a mountain where he was alone and nobody would invade. He chose a place. Not only is the time important that we choose when we go to pray, but the place. Because he didn't choose a place where he'd be interrupted or the phone would be ringing and all that. He chose a place where he would be alone. Nobody else would observe the dark hills and silent mountains, observe the groanings. You know, it's important about where you choose. Number three is the length that he chose. He continued, everybody say all night one more time. He continued, the long watches were not too long. He didn't grow weary. The cold wind didn't chill his devotions. He kept praying the entire night. Can you see him? He went when everybody else had eaten supper and they were laying down, getting their whatever, however they slept out, and they opened. And he leaves them and goes to the mountain and begins to pray. And the Bible says he prayed the entire night. He didn't grow weary. You know, sometimes we can't pray with him for 1 hour, and yet he prayed for us the entire night. He kept his heart. He kept seeking the Father. He kept calling out before the Lord. And then the last one was the reason that he chose. The reason that he chose. And I kind of alluded to that before the scripture, before this great intense struggle. They were enraged. It was one of those times when the Greek word is used. They were enraged at him, not just upset with him, but you ever had anybody enraged at you? Been driving down the road, you didn't know you were, driving however you were driving, and you've enraged somebody. You ever had a coworker enraged at you? And the Bible says they all were enraged at him and plotting how they might kill him. And then the verse after that is he had to choose 12, which was a major decision that affects you and I today. He chose his 12 disciples that would carry on his work. Every great decision that really needs to be bathed in prayer. And he was about to make one of the biggest decisions of his ministry. And I want to talk to you today about some reasons, like he did, to fast and pray, because we're in a season of our life that literally is going to either make or break our country. We're in a season of our country where it's determining the direction that we're going. It has nothing to do with skin color. Has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a registered Democrat. Has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It has to do with what you believe in and where you believe our country ought to go. We have decisions. Not only are we doing it with country, but we're doing it with our lives, because the Lord spoke to me and told me some of you are about to make some major decisions in your life. You're at a place where you need to know what the Lord wants you to do. Some of you are having children, and you need to know that. You're at a very prime time in your children's life. Some of your children are half grown. There's still their time. God has given parents the ability to direct our kids. He's given us the ability. You know, one of the best decisions I ever made in my life was Mary Jasmine. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, my kids, I'm smart, and one of the smartest things I ever did was marry my wife. You know why? Because she's had such an impact on my kids and the way they're going. I've run a school now. I've been the administrator of our academy for, I don't know, many years. Began at principal for many years, and then I turned it over to somebody who knew what they were doing. Come on, somebody. But I become the administrator. And I had the ability to watch children from the time they started K-4 or K-3. We used to have a daycare. Watch from the time they were put in daycare all the way through to where they're grown-ups now. And I have watched the difference in lives of children. It depends on their parents many times. And what happens in lives is we have the ability to contact. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Because if you've got a major decision, if you want something to change in your life, then you need to do something different. Because prayer, and I want to link this together, because prayer by itself sometimes will not do what prayer and fasting will accomplish. I'm not going to get over into works, but I'm going to tell you the truth. After years of experience, I've noticed this and watched this and learned this, that prayer will not do what prayer and fasting will accomplish many times. I've seen it happen in lives. I've seen it go. And if you want something different, you have to do something different. Unusual times calls for unusual actions. And many times we need it. So I want to talk to you in the scriptures about times, some different times when people prayed. But not just that they prayed, but they fasted with their prayer. And I want you to see what happens. And the first reason is, what are the reasons to fast and pray is if you've got a crisis or there's trouble that you're facing. One of the best things you'll ever do in your life when you're facing it is learn how to fast and pray. It's you can't pick up your iPad. You can't do it on your laptop. You can't do it on the internet. There are some things that will not change in your life. You can have all the knowledge and all the increase and all of this, but there are some things that are still won the same way they were won by Abraham. There are some things that are changed and change in your life, in the children's life, the same way it was done in Moses' life. It's not technology that will change you. It's not the latest whatever will change you. There are some paths that the saints have drawn that literally will work for you like it worked for them. And one of the keys is this: greater is he that controls his own spirit than he that conquers a city. And what that is this: you've got to learn there's some things that until you conquer yourself, you'll never conquer everything around you. I remember one of the great golfers, I think it was, I can remember, he says, it took me about 20 years to conquer my golf swing. It took me 40 years to conquer my mood swing. Come on, somebody. So when you begin to come, so one of the things is trials. Esther 4 was a situation that says, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast. Everybody say fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. There had been a law. Some evil men had gotten together and was trying to kill all the Jews. And what they did was, in response to that, they didn't go get an army. They didn't go get a Magnum 44. They went to prayer and fasting. And it literally turned everything around. Have you got trouble in your life? You got a crisis you're facing. Is there some problem with your kids? Is there some problem in your business? Maybe it's in your family, in your health. Listen, they had a trouble, they had a crisis. I don't care what kind it is. One biblical reason to fast and pray is when you're dealing with crisis or with a problem. Listen, when the enemy comes in like a flood, if you've gotten and gone to prayer and fasting, I'm going to tell you there's something rises up within you to stand against the attack of the enemy when you've dealt with God and you've touched the throne of God, and you can tell the enemy, you might mean it for evil, but God's going to turn it around for good. You may have meant it to destroy me, but God is going to bring me out of this thing, gold purified by the fire. See, whatever the devil means for evil, God turns around for good. But I'm going to tell you, there are some things will make a difference with your prayer and fasting that will be different if you don't. If you've not learned how to really seek the Lord and make God do it, listen, God turned around the crisis for Esther. He'll do the same thing for you. Number two is understanding the vision. Every one of you has a vision for your life. But so many of us never see the vision fulfilled for our life. Vaguely remember. Look what Daniel said. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. And I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. And then the angel comes to Daniel and says this: "And come to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come." Daniel is praying because he read a portion of the book of Jeremiah, didn't understand it. He knew there was a vision that God had for the people of Israel, but he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to complete it. And so he went to fasting and prayer. And the Bible says, an angel came and says, I want to clarify. I want to bring into focus the vision for your people. And I'm going to tell you, every one of you, God has a vision. He put within you, before he knows the end from the beginning, he has a vision for your life. He put it there, then he backpedaled, put you inside your mother's womb in seed form, and you've come out. But God already knows what he has for your life. And fasting and prayer will bring it into focus. Fasting and prayer. I've got a camera I use on my iPhone, a camera I use. I don't know what happens, but every time I take pictures, I got to zero it out because I know it's going to be out of focus when I download all my pictures. And I've done it over. And so what I've learned to do this, you can have a vision for your life, but be out of focus for it, and you're not really quite sure what it is. And what fasting and prayer does, it brings things into focus, on and on. And God has a vision for every life here. 39 years ago, this month, 1973, in October, I think it was October 6th, Egypt and Syria, along with 9 Arab nations, many of you don't even remember this, 9 Arab nations attacked Israel in a surprise attack on Yom Kippur, which was their Day of Atonement. You got to understand what took place. We know that 1973, we don't have the intelligence we have today. You don't have all of that. In a surprise attack on Israel, Egypt from the south, Syria from the north, along with all the bordering countries, nine other Arab countries, along with the Soviet Union supplying all the munitions, attacked Israel on Yom Kippur, called the Yom Kippur War. And literally, Goldie Meir was the president of Israel. And she literally, you got to read her diary, she talked about it said, I even thought of suicide because it looked like we were going to absolutely be wiped off the face of the map. They would have been, except for one man that God had a vision for his life. One man sent over 529 planes loaded with munitions to supply Israel. One man sent over 22,000 tons of munitions came on those planes. Not only that, but he sent 92,000 tons of munitions by ship to undergird Israel. You have to understand the complexity. I wrote down this. I remember reading it. It was the dire. 180 Israeli tanks faced 1,400 Syrian tanks. 180 Israeli tanks faced 1,400 Syrian alone tanks. They had 436 Israeli near the Suez Canal. 436 Israeli infantry were poised to fight over 80,000 Egyptian soldiers. Israel is about to be wiped off the face of the earth. But there was a little boy many years before that his mama was a Sunday school teacher. And every night he in his biography tells a story. My mom would teach me a lesson. And she would tell me, you've got a greatness in you. And then she would say this over and over to me. She said, my mama would say, if you're ever in a position to help Israel, do it. If you're ever in a position to help Israel, do it. He grew up and he tells it himself, I didn't really like the Jews. So I didn't like the Jews. And but all his life, his mom would raise him from a little boy. Says, you got a call. One day, if you're in the position to help Israel, help Israel. That little boy was called Richard Milhouse Nixon, who became, I believe, one of the best foreign policy presidents we ever had in the history of America. He had all. I won't go into all the other faults, but he was one of the best foreign policy. Goldie Meir was in the Oval Office with Henry Kissinger, who's a Jew, who refused help. And when the day came and those Arab and Egypt and Syria attacked, and nine other nations along with the Soviet Union is going to wipe Israel off the map, one man stood up in the midst of it all and against all his advisors, because the Watergate had broken. And the Senate and the House had told him, don't do anything, foreign policy now, you're in. And in the midst of all of that, let me tell you what a trump over all everything else the devil tries to destroy you with is the vision God's got for your life. When the voice of your mom or voice of your dad that's raised you and told you our life, if you're ever in a position to help Israel, help them. He sends 529 plane loads of munitions to Israel. He ships 92,000 more tons of, and you guess what happened? It was one of the greatest miracles of all. Was a young, come on somebody. Everybody say, give the Lord a good clap offering, would you? First time that fasting and prayer is ever mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 25. You know what it was about? It was about a little boy getting married. Abraham sent his servant to go find Isaac a bride. Undoubtedly, Isaac wasn't good at romance and all that, so he wasn't going to get married. So Abraham steps in and sends his servant to Israel and said, go find a bride for my little boy. And the Bible says when he got there, he fasted and prayed for a day before he got there and said, Lord, help me find the right woman for my servant, for my master's son. I'm going to tell you, if you're about to get married, fast, fast, and fast again. Come on, somebody. Because getting married is going to be the biggest decision you ever make in your life outside of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You better get your eyes off their hips and off their lips and better see if they love the Lord. Come on, somebody. Because you go, you're not just marrying them, you're marrying their whole family. Come on, somebody. You marry their aunts, their uncles, their grandmas, their mother, their dad. All of that stuff is coming into play, and we'll leave that right there while I say it, all right? So you need to do that. Many times God will give you a vision, but you don't know how to accomplish what it is that God shows you. That's where fasting and prayer comes in. That's where God focus. You know, God wants me to be a missionary. Well, how's that going to come to pass? You learn that by fasting and prayer. You don't learn that by putting it together in your mind. You learn how to fast and pray, and you watch God bring it all together. Everybody say amen. Come on. Number three is a checkup. Some of you need a checkup from the neck up. Some of you need a checkup from the neck down. You need a checkup. We do everything. We go yearly for a physical. You should. We go a year, you know, ever so often a checkup for our cars. You need to have a time when you have a checkup before the Lord. If you just run your race and all that, you never present yourself before. The Bible says in the book of Job, there came a day when the angels were presenting themselves before the Lord. I think it's a great thing in occasions in your life when you just present yourself before the Lord. And you say, God, I'm here. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people of the house upon the in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Everybody say the fasting day. God set aside a day a year when they had to present themselves before the Lord. It's called Yom Kippur. That's what happened in Israel. It's called the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement, you never heard weeping like you hear in Israel on the Day of Atonement. It was a day when they brought themselves before the Lord and they said, Lord, I'm not coming to ask you for anything. I'm not coming to pray about anything. I'm presenting myself before you. Show me my heart. Do I love you like I used to love you? Am I serving you like I always served you? Am I believing like I believed before, Lord? I want a checkup from the neck. I want a checkup, Lord. I'm coming in just for you to tell me, deal with me, adjust me, move me, confront me, encourage me. I don't know, Lord, but I'm just coming for a checkup before you. You ought to do that on a continual basis before the Lord. And you ought to do it with prayer and fasting. There's nothing like self-examination on your own, but there's nothing like having the Lord examine you. He's the great physician. He can come in and he can deal with you. And there's nothing like fasting. I'm going to tell you, if you've never fasted, you get real serious about lunchtime. Everybody say amen. We were talking to Glenn the other day one time. I was fasting, and I remember I was so hungry. You ever did that? You start eating your toothpaste. You ever done that? I mean, you eat half the tube of toothpaste. You know, just keep eating toothpaste. And I remember I was real hungry, and I was laying there. We all lived together in a house way back years ago. And I remember all of a sudden I heard this. Pizza's here! Come on, somebody. I'd eaten a box right then. You know, sometimes you just do it. So you do that. So another reason is promises God's made for you. Number four. The reason for fasting and prayer is there's promises God has made that will not come to pass unless you do your part. Just because God told you something doesn't mean it's an automatic. I'm going to do this with you. Oh, great, God. Well, you're going to do it regardless. Absolutely not. He wants to do it with you, through you. He wants to do it for you, but through you. Not for you, without you, but with you, for you, through you. I like it says in Judges, I always, never amazes me more this scripture in Judges. It says, the people of Israel arose, went up to Bethel, inquired of God, who shall go up first to fight against the people of Benjamin? Benjamin had become a perverse tribe, and they were going to fight. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Oh, great, God. The people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 Israelites. Come on, somebody. God, you said, we ask you who's to go up first. You said, you know, Judah, we went up, hallelujah, and we got wiped out. 22,000. Look at this. People of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord, shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers and the people of Benjamin? The Lord said, go up. Benjamin came out against them, killed 18,000 of them that day. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. There's some things that will be accomplished with prayer and fasting that will not be accomplished just by prayer. There's some things that will be accomplished with prayer and fasting that will not be accomplished just by prayer. Watch this. Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. There they sat there before the Lord and did what? Fasted until the evening. And offered burnt offerings and peace offerings for the Lord. And the people of Israel inquired of the Lord for the Ark of the Covenant in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before in those days, saying, shall we go up once more or should we not? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I'll give them into your hands. And they literally went up and God gave them into their hands. Let me tell you something. There's some things will not be accomplished. No, I'm not a works mentality, but I'm just telling you what I've learned after 30-some years of pastoring. Some things that will not be accomplished by prayer that will be accomplished when you pray and fast. I'm not going to try to make a theology out of it. I just learned what I learned. You can take it or leave it. I've learned what just never go into a major battle without fasting and prayer. Never go into a major confrontation, a major decision. Listen, there are some things that I say will not happen unless. Fifth thing is this, it will lift judgment. Ahab was a wicked king, and God said, the dogs are going to lick your blood in the streets. He was a Jew, but he married the wrong woman. He married Jezebel. And she was the daughter of a foreign a priest of another religion. Turned his heart away from God, but yet he knew what was right. He knew he was a Jew. He knew what was right. Do you know anybody that knows what is right but not doing right? Is there anybody in your life that you know they know what's right but they're not doing right? Let me tell you, you know what you can do with fasting and prayer? Listen to this. It can lift and postpone the judgment and give more time for the mercy of God to work. Watch this. Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, my enemy? He answered, I found you because you've sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I'll bring disaster upon you. I'll utterly burn you up and will cut you off from Ahab, every male bond or free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger to which you have provoked me and because you've made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heaven shall eat. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his flesh, and did what? He did what? Fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went about dejected. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house. Fasting and prayer can lift the judgment for a time, postpone the judgment for a time to give the mercy of God more time to work. I don't know if you know, if you've got a loved one that's away from God right now, they know what's right and wrong. Fasting and prayer for them can change. Billy Hornsby's in heaven right now, but I remember he and I in Mexico City. I'll never forget that first morning I woke up, I heard something, and there was Billy. I wasn't married then. There was Billy on his knees praying for his three little girls. And I remember listening to him while I was in bed, just listening to him cry out to God for his three little girls. There is something about when that you by fasting and prayer, God can move and you can see God's mercy move into a place. There was never a more wicked king than Ahab on the face of the earth. And yet prayer and fasting temporarily lifted the judgment of God and gave God time. Everybody say amen today, would you? Pray for that to God. Last thing is this. Next to last thing. Healing. If you need healing for your body, Isaiah 58. Some of you say, man, if I fast, I'll get sick. Come on, somebody. It'll help lower your cholesterol. It'll help lower blood pressure. Some of you need to take a day just physically outside of, you could use a day of fasting. A lot of people do it for health reasons and all, but it says, Isaiah says that, it says, when you fast, your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go forth for you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. There's something about fasting that'll help bring the healing of God. Your health will come. Another one is dominion. Just think about this with me. Jesus fasted 40 days and nights, and he captured the dominion back from the devil. Adam lost the dominion through eating, right? He ate. I know it was disobedience, but that disobedience involved eating. We sang a song this morning, Lord, You Are More Precious Than Silver. That song was written by a young girl who was on a fast. And she was on a 3-day fast, and she tells the story. She said, you know, on the second day, I was driving by McDonald's, and I don't know what happened. Next thing I know, I'm ordering a Big Mac. And she said, as I'm eating that Big Mac, I'm feeling guilty all in my heart. She said, I'm feeling so guilty. And she said, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, don't feel, you don't know. And she said, She said, the first time I wrote this song, here's how I wrote it. Lord, You are more precious than a Big Mac. Come on, somebody. She said, somehow that just didn't seem real spiritual, you know, something like that. And the Lord spoke to her and says, you know, you need to get over the guilt. You need to go on for God and do what you can do. And then pick it back up and go again. Because God can make a difference in your life. Dominion can happen. Esau lost his birthright by eating, on and on. Jesus took it back. Let me end up with this. Ezra 8:21 says this. Then I proclaimed a fast there. Everybody say fast. At the river Ahava. And that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a what? I'm going to tell you, if you want to know what job to get, if you want to know where to go to church, if you want to know what to do with your kids, where to send them to school, if you want to know whether to buy that or not this, I'm going to tell you something. There's decisions to make. If you want to know the right way, fast and pray before the Lord. And the Lord will open your heart up and you'll know the right way. When you begin to seek Him, there is a right way, there is a wrong way. God will reveal to you the right way. He'll help you. He'll give you wisdom and everything you need. It says also, not only a right way, but it says that we seek Him for our little ones and for all our substance. You can pray, and one of the things for fasting is you can pray. I don't know if you ever pray over your stuff. We sometimes will pray over our stuff, just our substance, for the Lord to do it. But the last one this morning is this. One of the things that Jasmine and I did all our lives was we prayed over our kids. We prayed over our kids, and we pray over them right now every day. My mother has a big thing on her wall, and it has every one of her loved ones' names on it. And she prays that every day of our lives. She's prayed that. It's got this long list of things that she prays for us. I will tell you, one of the keys of my life when I was a little boy, she came to me and she said, I don't know what the Lord's going to do with you, but God's got a call on your life. I heard that from the time I was a little boy until now. She said it to me last night after she said she's going to whip me. But then she said she was going to, that I had a calling on my life, because I've been pretty strict with them over there. My mom, she's doing great, but I'm the, you know. And so, but what happens in life is God is doing something, and you can pray. It says, look Ezra back up if you would. It says, we proclaimed a fast to seek Him the right way for us, and also we prayed for our little ones. Let me tell you something. There is something happens in the home of a faster, somebody that fasts, with their children that does not happen in the home of people who do not fast and pray over their kids. There, I've watched it for 30, 40 years of running a school. I have seen it in my eyes. I've watched. It rains on the just? Absolutely. Does the problems come? Absolutely. But I've watched the outcome. I've watched the lives of them of what happens. I'm going to tell you, if you've stopped fasting and praying for your children, no matter what age they are, you need to go back into it. When Bill Clinton, I'm in with this. Musicians, come on back up real quick, would you? When Bill Clinton was president of, when Bill Clinton was a governor of Arkansas, he got an invite one time to come to Alexandria, Louisiana, to a church there to come to the Messiah. If you ever seen that, many of you may have gone there in Alexandria, Louisiana. And he went, and he so was moved by it, every year he would go back to the Messiah in Alexandria, Louisiana. He got to be good friends with the pastor there. In fact, after he became president of the United States, he would fly in with the Secret Service, and they would give him a special presentation by himself in the Secret Service of the Messiah. And when Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, one of the first people President Clinton called was a pastor who was a Republican, called him in Alexandria, Louisiana. That pastor and his wife flew to Washington, D.C. The pastor's wife was a singer, was one of the very good singer in their musicals, and had written a song for him. And the pastor wrote President Clinton a 14-page list of things to follow. And, it's one of those, odd couple relationships. And the pastor there never took advantage, never shared what all would take place or what would be said and all that. But the question was why and how and how that all. You look from the surface and say, well, just kind of odd, I don't know. Let me tell you how it happened. Many, many years ago, a little lady had a little boy. And when that baby boy was born, here's what she decided. She decided that she was going to take every day on his birthday and go from sunup. Cut that amp down a little bit, would you? Every day decided from the time that he was born until she died, she would take that birthday, and from sunup to sundown, she would spend the day fasting and praying in the church for him. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. And every birthday, instead of going out for candles and cakes and all that stuff, which she probably did later on, that sun up to sundown, she fasted and she prayed for that little boy. And she never stopped. And she did it for over 50-some years. And he grew up to be the pastor of that church. And for the last 20, she did that for 20 years by herself. And then the last 20 or 30 some years, the whole church got together and they started a prayer meeting that has not quit even until now. Let me tell you what, when you pray for your little ones, what God can do. God can do tremendous things for your child. I want all the dads to stand up in here just for a minute, would you? I want every dad in this place to stand up. Now, really, I want every man. I want every man to stand up. Would you? Every man stand up in this place, would you? The Lord has given you, whether you have children of your own or not, the Lord has given you children. And you've got people under you and around you. And I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. You know, when you read in the Bible, many times it was the dads that took the challenge and took the lead role in this. And sometimes in America, we don't feel comfortable taking, especially as dads, to take the lead role because we're not as equipped or don't feel as spiritual as our wives may. Because we do a lot of the work and they're under our covering and they have more time. I understand all that. But I'm going to tell you, God has given us as fathers the ability that we can pray on our way to work. We can pray on our way home. We can pray at lunch breaks. We can pray on other breaks. We can sit there. We can call our name, our children's name out before the Lord. We can do that. And we can cry out to God and we can fast and we can pray. We can miss a meal here and there and we can see God do a change in our lives. I don't know what the vision is God's got for your children or those that God's put under you, but God has got a vision for them. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things about fasting and praying for our children. They can do tremendous things for God. And we can just believe God and cover them in prayer, cover them in all that we got. So I want all the men, I want just the men of this place, I want you guys to pray with me out loud. Would you do that right now? Let's just take, Father, we lift up our children, our little ones to you right now. God, we ask you to touch them. Lord, we ask you those that are away from you right now, God, turn them around. God, lift the judgment, Lord. Take the judgment off of them for a period. Lord, give mercy as you did Ahab. Lord, he called out. We call out to you this morning, God, for our children, our little ones, our wives, our daughters, our sons. Lord, we call out to you. We ask you, Lord, they're on a treacherous journey when we send them off to college, Lord, all that's around them, Lord. We send them off to school, Lord. We send them off in their married life. Lord, we just cover them in Jesus' name this morning. We call out as fathers in this place, Lord. We cry, ask you, touch them, oh God. Put the right people around them. Guard them, Lord, from the robbers. Guard them from the unholy people, Lord. Put a guard about them. We lift them up before you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want everybody else to stand up. All the wives, all the women, everybody stand up, would you? Lift your hands one more time. Let's pray together. Father, we begin to pray, Lord, this morning. We cry out to you. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that hears prayers. Lord, your ears are open, oh God. You're listening, oh God. So we cry out, Lord, for all these things. We cry out for vision. We cry out, Lord, what you've got to do with our lives. Lord, we begin to call out to you. We ask for our health of our bodies. Lord, we pray for wisdom. Lord, we cry out to you. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. But Father, as a church this morning, we pray for our country. Lord, we lift that up before you. Lord, in election day, Father, we cry out, not what we want, but what you want, Lord. We pray for this country to move back, Lord, toward godly roots. We pray for godly men in government, Lord. When the kings are godly, Lord, there's a blessing upon the nation. So we pray this morning for godly leaders. Lord, we pray for those that believe in your word. We pray for those, Lord, that will adhere to what you want done. Father, we pray for that. We pray for our Congress. We pray for all the elections taking place. We lift that up before you this morning. God, we praise you today. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. Everybody said amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering, would you, quit? Come on, lift your voice up. Come on.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you.
Sing it again. Lift your hands. Make a commitment before the Lord.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. And Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds.
Oh, and
nothing I desire compares with.
I want you to do that one more time. Come on. Say, Lord, I'm just coming for a checkup this morning. Say, Lord,
you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold.
This week, I want you to be, I taught this morning, so I want to give you homework. I want you to fast this week, to whatever extent you want to fast, it's a meal or whatever. And I want you to take that time to pray. I remember one time I was fasting during a lunch break at where I used to work. And I remember I went out and it was for the state of Louisiana. I went out in the back and I climbed up in a pickup truck. I'll never forget this. And I climbed up in the bed and everybody was inside eating. And I was out there and I was just worshiping God. I was praying in tongues. I was just seeking God. And all of a sudden, you ever felt like you know somebody's looking at you? And somebody had seen me and they got the rest of the staff and they had lined the outside of this truck bed and was watching me. Let me know, you never know when somebody's watching. So this morning, I want you to do this. I want you to know you never know who's watching you, especially your little ones. Just becoming a granddad, I've got little ones again. You never know who else is watching. I'm going to tell you, God is going to do something. Maybe you're facing a decision-making time. Maybe you're facing a crisis. Maybe you're about to make a big decision in your life. Fast and pray this week. Prepare yourself. Then I want you to do this. I want you to fast and pray this week during a portion of that is for our country. Pray for our country. Pray and seek God. We can be a part of all and just say, God, we cry out to you. Send us godly leaders. We want a godly leader, Lord. And then begin to pray and ask the Lord to do. And then all those things we talked about this morning, why don't you do this? Why don't you couple your prayer this week with fasting and then just see what God will do on you. Father, I just commit this church to you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of people. I pray this week, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, that a sacrifice will always get your attention. And this morning, Lord, we thank you. And everybody said a good amen. Would you say amen? Give the Lord one more good clap offering. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night at Hallelujah Night.
It's your name. The earth and all will crumble. That's your name, and tumble. It's your name, earthlings will bow, the earth will rejoice, people cry out. The Lord upon the earth, we shout your praise. Shout your praise, filling up the skies. Pray in His praise, in His praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your praise. Sing, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name. Shout your praise, filling up the sky. Pray in His praise, in His praise. Yahweh,